The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen.
Daf Kof Yod Chet. Today's daf is being said in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem t'chainu b'gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fu'a Shenema. Sara bat Rachel. El na refanana for the nefesh of the guf. For talking about the bevichin in a sober Oman. Amen. Zav is being studied. Hatzlacha Yosef ben Simcha. We begin today's daf in the new perek. Perek Shisha Asar. Right at the top line, starting with the new Mishnah. Aisha shehalak ba'ala betzarata lemedinat hayam. So what happened? You have a lady and her husband. Her husband and her co-wife went to Medinat Hayam. Okay, so you have a lady that her husband and her co-wife went overseas. Uba'u, and they came. Ve'amrulan, they told her met ba'alech. So they told her that her husband died. So the Mishnah's din is lo tenaseh ve'lo tityabim. She's not allowed to get married to the shuk, nor is she allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum. Until she clarifies, Shema me'uberet hi tzarata. Maybe the tzara that went overseas got pregnant, and therefore if she gets pregnant, so now there is no din of yibum, because that means her husband had children. Now of course, the law of yibum only would be, should be off talk, not until she gives birth. The pregnancy alone does not put yibum, so she would have to wait, the Gemara will say, a certain minimum amount of time to give the chance for the child to be born. So therefore she cannot make a yibum at the time yet, because if she's going to make yibum, it's a problem of eshet ahot ishto. So therefore she cannot make yibum, but she cannot yet get married. Does she? Aisha shalak ba'ala lo tenasehu il ublo banim yatsa ba'ala. Now, when she left without children. Okay, so the hazakah over here was that there was really supposed to be a yibum, because there was no children. But it says velo tityabem shimme yalda tzarata, because we're concerned that maybe the tzara overseas gave birth. Why can't she get married? I was going to say, let her just make a halitza and a manachach. If there was a child, so the halitza got her off the hook. If there was no child, so she the halitza is nothing, it doesn't matter, she can marry to the shuk. So the Gemara is going to say, why isn't halitza an option? Mishnah continues. Haita la hamot. Let's say she had a mother-in-law that was b'medinat hayam. Okay? Now, the mother-in-law did not have any other children besides this lady's husband. So therefore, technically, she did not have a yibum situation, because there is no paternal brother. There's nobody else. She's in the event that her husband dies, she'd be mutar to the shuk. So what happened? Ena hosheshet. So the deen is, the lady did not have to suspect that maybe her mother-in-law had another child overseas, and therefore now, when she gets to report that her husband died, she's going to be subject to yibum. You don't have to suspect that. So that she says, הייתה לחמות במדינת הים, וכשיצאה לא היה לה בן. Okay, she did not have a child when she left. ואין יבם לזו, there's no יבם over. אין החושש ששמה ניתן ליבם. We don't suspect that maybe she was given the יבם, meaning maybe her mother-in-law had a child. אף אגב דעשינן לעיל שמה ילדה צרה. What do you mean? In the Rish, in the Mishnah, we just said, that you חושש, maybe the צרה, when she went overseas, had a child. Hatamu de chol ma di yaldat sara ben zachar ben nekeba mapikla leham yabim. Because by the tzara, it doesn't matter what she has. Whether she has a boy or whether she has a girl, it poter the lady from Yibum. Abal hamot, but the mother-in-law, different odds. The ina me yalda, that even if, let's say, she gives birth, lo zakik la leha, elam kin yalda zakhar. She has to dafka give birth to a boy, obviously for Yibum. Vechule aylo hashinan shema yalda. Because now you have to say maybe she gave birth to she has to give birth to a zakat, that's less odds, we'll say, and therefore we don't suspect it when it comes to the hamot. That tzara, she has to give birth, boy or girl, and already there's no more yibum. But she in the case of the hamot, it's dafka a boy that we're discussing over here, she can fall to yibum, so we do not suspect. The Gemara is going to explain now. Yatsta mele'ah. No, let's say the mother-in-law went to Medina Tayyam Mele'ah. She was pregnant. Hosheshet. So then already, you have to be Hosheshet because already she was pregnant. So now you have to be Hosheshet that maybe the child that was born was a Zakhar. And therefore she's not going to be Mutar to the Shuk. When she gets the report that her husband died, now she has to already make a Yibum. The Biyoshua Omer and a Hosheshet. The Biyoshua says, even in that case over there, you don't have to suspect that she and a Hosheshet. The Ikalimar Shema Epila. Because even though she was pregnant, maybe she had a miscarriage. And if you want to say she didn't have a miscarriage, maybe that the baby was a nekeba. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, even in the case where the Hamot went pregnant, she did not. There's no suspicion. Now the Gemara analyzes, Mai hi tzarata. In the first case of the Mishnah, right? We had a case of a lady that went, her husband and tzara went to Medinat Hayam. Right? And they told her that your husband died. So we say she cannot get married and she cannot make a yibum. Right? Until she knows, Achiteda Shema Me'ubedit Hi Tzarata. So the Gemara's Medinik, what is this? Hi Tzarata. Just say Shema Me'ubedit Tzarata. What is it? Word Lashur the Mishnah Shema Me'ubedit Hi Tzarata. That's the Gemara's first question. My Hi Tzarata. Scripture says, "Hakamashmalan lehatzara hu dehayshina." You only have to suspect that what the guy, this wife that he was married to, aval litzara hariti lo hayshinan, which means, let's say you have witnesses that come back from Medina Tayyam and say, "We testify this tzara over here is not pregnant. She'll be muteret to the shuk," and we do not have to suspect. Well, maybe he got married to somebody else when he's in Medina Tayyam. And maybe he had a child from a different tzara. No, that much you don't have to suspect. He tzarata. The hashash is only on this tzara. And therefore, like Rashi says, imbau edim she'en tzarata me'obedet. If witnesses come along and say that this tzara is not me'obedet, ena hosheshet sheme isha aheret nasa umuteret liyabam. She does not have to be hoshesh that, let's say, married somebody else. Which means again, that she said, "Imbau edim she'en sarata meubedet." The tzara is not meubedet. Ena hosheshet shema isha acheret nasa umuteret liyabam. Which means, in the case over here, you only have to worry about the actual tzara that went, and therefore, when the witnesses come along and say she's not meubedet, so therefore, she has a situation of yibum because there's no children, and therefore, you don't have to worry about her. You don't have to worry about maybe there's another one that had married and had a child. Comes the Gemara and continues and says, "Lo tenase ve'lo tetchabim." So this lady over here, in the interim, she cannot get married to the shuk and she cannot make yibum yet. So bishlama yibum lo. We understand why we do not let her make a yibum. The dilma me'ubra, because maybe the tzara that was overseas already was pregnant. Right, and that's already isu deoraita. Because in the event that she was pregnant, she's going to give birth. So there's no mitzvah yibum over here. So therefore, the yavam is going to make isu deoraita. He's going to go with eshet ach. She doesn't become mitzvah. Ela lo tenase amai. But why don't you allow her to get married to the shuk? Why should we allow her to get married to the shuk? Halach achar rov nashim. Why don't you go after the majority of ladies? Verov nashim mitabrot viyoldot. The majority of ladies, they get pregnant and they give birth, and therefore the chaurah, you should assume that what go after the rov, since she went overseas, Mistama she got pregnant, like the Rov, and Mistama she gave birth, doesn't matter what she gave birth to, and therefore this lady now should be off top, she should be permissible to get married to the Shuk. Why don't you follow a Rov? Kamara says, Lema Rabbi Meiri. Because it could be the Mishnah's following, she tab Rabbi Meir, the Hayish the Mi'uta. That he goes and suspects even to the minority. Where do we see the Bimi is Hashesh to the minority? So that she quotes the source. It's actually on Hulin Davav. That she writes Gabe Kutim. She gazar al kol kutim mishum otam shematzu demut yona bar grizim mishtahavula. The Hachemi made a gezerah against the wine of the kutim. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe they used it for Avodah Zarah. Even though only a mi'ut of the kutim bow down to Avodah Zarah and use the wine in the service, Hachamim Osir, all the wine. That's Shittat to be Mi'ir. That's Hoshesh the Mi'uta. Oh, so therefore they say the same thing over here. Hoshesh the Mi'uta, that what? Even though the majority of the ladies get pregnant, the minority maybe doesn't. And therefore you're concerned if she doesn't have a child, so she cannot get married because now she has to fall to Yibum. So he was Afilu Tema Rabbanan. We can even say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbanan, which is even though the rabbis normally go after the majority, in this case over here we're going to say they go after the minority. Why? He asked the Rabbanan Batar Ruba, when did the rabbis go after the majority? That's only Ruba di Ita Kaman. That's only when the majority is in front of us. Kegon Tesha Hanoyot. You have 9 stores. Right? 9 stores kasher, 1 store taref. And you have a piece of meat in front of one of the stores. So that's in front of us. We see the 9 stores and the piece of meat. Therefore, you'll say it came from the 9 stores. V'senedre. Or let's say you have a vote in the senedre. You have, let's say, 23 rabbis sitting on the senedre. So you have, let's say, a 12-11 vote. So therefore, that's already a rov. You have it in front of you. Aval ruba deleta kaman lo azle rabbanan. But this rov over here in our case is a rov deleta kaman. It's not in front of us, which means we have this lady over here in Medinat Hayam. So now we want to know rov betabrot or not. Then you don't go with rov. That's not a rov that's in front of us. You just send a din vote. You have a 12 against 11. That's we count them up. You have rov. The stores, the 9 stores and the 1 store, 9 kashir, 1 taref, the meat is in front of us, you go after rov. But the rabbi is going to say, you don't go after the rov when it's not in front of us. And therefore, you're going to have to be a chashish to what? Maybe she did not give birth, and therefore she is subject to yibum, and therefore she cannot go and marry to the shu kashi. The letter kaman, kigon hacha. Like over here in our case of the lady, the nizil batar rov nashim sheba olam. Right, you're going after rov nashim sheba olam. Well, rov nashim sheba olam is not in front of us, so therefore you don't go after such a rov. So the mishnah can even be according to shitat hachamim. The gemara says, "Vare katan veketana." What do you mean? We have a story of a katan and a ketana. Diruba deleta kamani. This is going to be a case which we're going to see now of a rov that's not in front of us. Then we still see the rabbis go after the rov. The tanya we have a brighter katan uktana. When it comes to a katan uktana, lo holtzin velo miyabimim, which means they do not make a halitza, nor do we allow them to make a yibum. So the Gemara says, "Devrei Rabbi Meir." That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Amru lo Rabbi Meir. Amru lo de Rabbi Meir. So they told Rabbi Meir, "Yafe amar she'en cholzim." We understand why you cannot make a halitza to a katan. Why? Ish ketiv beparasha. Because in pasuk of halitza, the Torah says, "Ish umagshinan isha leish." Right, and we have a case between ish to isha. And therefore, we know that the katan and katana, let's say, they're not subject to the law of halitza. No problem. But what's the problem? Why don't you allow them to make a yibum? So comes Gemara and says, "Amar leim." So the Bimeir says, "Katan shem yimsa saris." Because we're worried that katan, maybe when he grows up, he's going to end up becoming a saris, meaning he's not going to be able to have children. And therefore, the yibum that he made was not really a yibum, because the saris is patur from yibum. So that's a risk. You have to be a chashish that maybe he's going to grow up to become a saris. Furthermore, ketana shematimsa ailonit. And then she might grow up to become an ailonit, also not able to bear children. Vinimsa pogim be'arva. That was pogim be'arva. Because eshetach, you really were not allowed to make a yibum, not with a saris or a ailonit. The rabbi said, no. Zil batar ruba de ketanim. Go after the majority of ketanim. Verov ketanim lav sinisininu. The majority of ketanim are not siddisim. Zil batar rov ketanot. I go after the majority of ketanot. Verov ketanot. Life, I don't need ninu. So you see what? That's a rov that's not in front of us. That's going rov ba'olam. The majority of ketanim in the world. And still what? The rabbis go after rov. So you can't answer me that when the rov is not in front of us, the rabbis don't go with the rov. Here's a case of a katana ketana. That the rov is not in front of us. You're going rov ketanim shiba'olam. Rov ketanot shiba'olam. And still what? They go with the roof. So therefore, you can't answer me that our Mishnah is going like Rabbanan and say that they'll agree that even though Rov ladies give birth, but since it's not in front of us, so therefore they're going to be Oshesh to Mi'utah. So you know, so give us Eilam Havarta. We've got to go back to the original answer. Matnitin, the Bimi'iri. The Mishnah has got to be the Bimi'ir. And therefore, when the lady is told that her husband died, right? And the Sarah was overseas, we're not going to let her get married. Why? Even though Rov ladies give birth, you should really be able to assume that the lady that Sarai gave birth, there's no Yibum. But why? And if it's Chosheshet Mi'utah, maybe she didn't give birth, therefore she's not going to be able to get married to the Shuk. So how did you establish the Mishnah? At least the Resha of the Mishnah. Can it be Meir? Oh, so you said the Resha is the Meir. There's Chosheshet Mi'utah. Emma Sefa, right? I'm bringing a question from the Sefa of the Mishnah. Haita lahamot, like she had a mother-in-law. Right? The mother-in-law went overseas. Ena hosheshet, so you don't suspect that what? That she had a child. And therefore, since she did not have a child, when they told her that her husband died, there's no yibum of it, because no other brother. So the Gemara says, Amai halacha harov nashim. What do you mean? Go with Rabbi Meir. Go after the majority of the ladies. The rov nashim mitabirot. Now, the majority of the ladies do give birth. Viyodot, right? They get pregnant, they give birth. Mi'ut, however, the minority mapilot. Okay, minority have miscarriages. Now, v'chola yodot, and on the side of the fact that she gives birth, mehsa zecharim u'mehsa nekevot. It's 50-50, right? 50% maybe she'll have a boy, which is the problem, because now she has yibum, or 50% she has a nekevot. Now, smoch mi'utat v'mapilot. Now, add the odds of miscarriage, l'mehsa nekevot, to the fact that you can also, she can have a nekevot, and that puts zecharim in the minority. V'avudu zecharim mi'utah. And therefore what? You're going to have now, the zecharim are going to be in the mi'ut. Right? Because again, you have the fact, number one, she could have gave birth to a girl. Add that to the fact that she could also could have had a miscarriage. So it's like two sides against one side. And therefore, what? The odds are what? That she's not going to have. Right? So the Gemara says, And therefore what? We should suspect, which means we should suspect that what to the mi'ut according to the mi'ir, and therefore I'll say what, maybe she gave birth to a zakhar, because it could be he's hoshesh to mi'ut, even though zakharim is in the mi'ut, but doesn't it be hoshesh to mi'ut? And therefore if she had a child, she won't be permissible to go to the shuk, because the mother-in-law now has another son, and therefore she's subject to yibum. You understand, we established methodically that having a boy is a mi'ut, right? But it means choshesh to mi'ut. So if you're choshesh to the mi'ut, how can you tell me in the Mishnah, eno choshesh, we're not choshesh, therefore we let her get married to the shuk. What do you mean we should be choshesh? Aye, but even having a boy is in the minority, so what? It means choshesh to mi'ut. Understand the question? So comes again what it says, right? Vili'ush, question mark, we should suspect, meaning we shouldn't allow her to get married, she should be subject now to, she should fall to the avam at least. So comes the Gemara and says, "Dilma kevan de'ezeka le'shuk lo chayish." The Gemara gives an answer. We have a hazaka over here. Before the mother-in-law went away, this lady over here had a hazaka. Her status was she's mutal le'shuk, in the sense that what, there was no other brother. It was only her husband. Hazaka was, we know the mother-in-law does not have another child. So before the mother-in-law went away, you have a hazaka. So the Gemara is assuming when you have a hazaka, the hazaka is going to be stronger. Because we hoshesh to a mi'ut. But when there's a hazaka, hazaka is telling us what? There was no other brother. So then the hazaka is going to override. Gemara says, oh, you go with hazaka? Resha, go back to the resha. De'ezak li'yibum tiyabim. Which means in the Resha, before the Tzara went away, there was no children. So the Hazakah was what? That she falls to Yibum. So therefore you should also say what? If you can go with the Hazakah is stronger, so then we should say she should make a Yibum. What did we say in the Mishnah? We said in the Mishnah that we hoshesh to the Mi'ud that maybe, according to Rabbi Meir, what was the deen in the Mishnah? Right, that was the case of Tzarata, went to Midat Hayam, and they told Mid Balich, Lola, we said, Lot and Asif, Lot and Yabim. Right? Why can't she get married? Because maybe this Sara over here, right, had a child, right, and she gave birth. So we had a question of the Gemara, I'm just reviewing. The Gemara's question was, why are you telling me that that she cannot get married and she cannot make a yibum? Why didn't you say she should be able to mutar to the shuk? The Bibi says, no, we're not going to mutar to the shuk. Why? Even though the Chawara Rov give birth, right? Rov give birth, and therefore she should be permissible to make a, to go to the shuk. If Rov give birth, that means the Sarah gave birth. Correct? That she should be permissible to go to the shuk. But the Mimi doesn't say that. The Mimi says we're going to go to the Mi'ut, and if we're going to go to the Mi'ut, we're not going to let her get married. Good. So the Gemara is asking, what are you talking about? The Chawara, why should you have a Hazakah? What was the Hazakah? The Hazakah before the Tzara left, the exactly Yibum. She was muhzeket to make a Yibum. So the first she should be able to make a Yibum. Just like in the Sefa, you tell me you go with a Hazakah against the Mi'ut. So the Hazakah, the Resha, was that Tzara left without children. She leaves without children, what's the deen? This lady over here now is subject to Yibum. You're right, you have a Mi'ut. But so what? We should say that why she should be able to make a Yibum. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman Amar Abba Bar Abu. Hey, there's a big difference. Resha di Isur Karet Hasheshu. In the Resha, if we're wrong, you have a situation of Isur Karet. Which means, if let's say the Tzara had a child, so now she's going to go with the brother, that's already Isur Eshet Ah, that's already Isur Karet, so therefore we're going to be Hoshesh, we're not going to let her make a Yibum in the Resha. But we're not going to go with the Hazakah in the Resha. Because if you go with the Hazakah, it's possible you're going to make Isur Karet. However, Sefa, the Isur Lav Lo Hasheshu. In the Sefa, what's the Isur? You're going to let her go to the Shuk. Well, she might have a Yavam that was born. The worst thing she could have done is Isur Lav. Because when you have to go to Yibum and you go to the Shuk, that's already Isur Lav, right? So therefore, we can be lenient. So Gemara said, what are you talking? Amar Rava Mechdi, Hade Oraita, Bade Oraita. Mali Isur Karet, Mali Isur Lav. Which means, when it comes to Isur De Oraitas, Isur De Oraita, you have to be Mechmi with them. Since one of a sudden we're going to be Mekel, it's only Isur Lav. So we'll be Mekel by the Hamad. But the Isur Karet, we're going to be Mechmir. Which when it comes to Isur De Oraita, we should be Mechmir. In both cases. So the Gemara's question is again, how can it be Mi'ir, who is Hoshesh to a Mi'ut? So you tell me in the Sefa by the mother-in-law that what? He should be Hoshesh to the Mi'ut. And then what's the Mi'ut? Mi'ut is that what? She gave birth to a Zakar by the mother-in-law, right? And therefore she shouldn't be allowed to go to the Shuk. What are you holding? How can you say that? So he says, Ela Marava Resha Hazakah liyibum. Okay, what was the Hazakah in the Resha? Yibum, right? Because the Tzara went out, there was no children. So therefore the Hazakah was she can make a Yibum. Viruba Leshuk. Now, why is it Ruba Leshuk? Because the majority to the Shuk, because the majority of the ladies give birth. Correct? Ruba, she should be permissible to marry to the Shuk, because the majority of ladies give birth. So you're dealing with a Hazakah on one side and the Rov on the other side. When she left, what was the status? Hazakah now, she should be making Yibum because there's no children. That's what the Hazakah tells us, yes? Before the Tzara left, there was no children.
No children.
Right. So Hazakah Yibum. Good. Rov, once she leaves, you got a Rov now. That Rov, she gave birth. Right. And then Rov will tell me that why she should go to the Shuk. So Gemara says, Resha, Hazakah li Yibum. Viruba leshuk. Now, the hazaka lo adif kiruba. normally a rov is stronger than a hazakah. And therefore, since the rov says that she had children, so therefore she should be really permissible to the shuk against the hazakah. Now, ve'aiti mi'uta de mapilot. But we have a mi'ut that what? Some ladies do have miscarriages. Okay, so even on the rov, what happens? We minimize our rov. Our rov is not such a rov. We just chipped away from the rov because there's some ladies that have a miscarriage. And therefore, simokh l'hazakah. So you put that on the side of hazakah, so you just built up your hazakah. And therefore, v'avide palga o palga. So now it's 50-50. Understand what we just did? Which is normally we say what? The rov is stronger than the hazakah. But in this case, what's the rov? The rov tells her, mutar lashuk. Right? But hazakah says, you're not mutar lashuk. But you know what? Break the rov down a little. Because on the side, what's the rov say? She gave birth. But there's a chance that what? She might have had a miscarriage. Oh, she had a miscarriage. That strengthens the hazakah. So therefore, now already by using the mi'ut, exactly, it balances out the rov and the hazakah, so it's 50-50. So therefore, lo tenaseh ve lo techabim. So therefore, we have a safek over here, so I don't know what to do. I'm not going to let her get married, right? But on the other side, I cannot let her make a yibum. I can't make her a yibum because maybe she had a child. I can't let her get married because maybe she didn't. And she's not mutar l'shuk. It's 50-50, so therefore you have to be choshesh. Oh, sefa. Now we go to the sefa. And that's what? That's what it means, yuhashish to mi'ut. That's not what it means, using the mi'ut over here. He's using the mi'ut of mapilot to add it to the hazakah, to make it 50-50, therefore you can't not get married, you cannot make a yibum. Instead, now we're using the mi'ut. Oh, what about the sefa? So you want to. Sefa, hazakah, leshuk. Right, which is before the mother-in-law left, hazakah should be permissible to the shuk. There was no other brother, right? Viruba the shuk, right? And the rov is also to the shuk. Why is the rov to the shuk? Right. So the reason why he says rov is to the shuk is because even if you want to say rov nashim mit abirot, right, and they're going to give birth, who first of all. It's not a rov because, right, she has to give birth to a zachar and ben kayama. So therefore, that's already a mi'ut on the zachar, because could be she gave birth to a, maybe she had a miscarriage, and even if you want to say that she didn't have a miscarriage, could be she gave birth to a nekeba. So therefore, the zecharim is already in the minority. So therefore, it says, Yavro, the hazakah and the rov are the same over here. Hazakah says she's muteret leshuk. Rov is also going to say she's muteret leshuk because the only way she falls to yibum is if it's a boy. Okay, but the rov is not going to be a boy. Rov can be a can be either a miscarriage or a girl. Oh, va'avi lezecharim mi'uta. So the zecharim is in the minority. Now, that's not a minority. It's mi'uta de mi'uta. It's the minority. In the minority, because already rov is already the minority here, because you have a hazakah in a rov, right? So we always know that the hazakah is stronger than the rov. So now you're adding this mi'uta, this mi'ut zecharim. Again, you have a rov and you have a hazakah. In this case, both the rov and the hazakah are going the same direction. The hazakah is saying that what? She's muteret leshuk. The rov is coming along and saying that she's muteret leshuk. You have a mi'udavi that says what? That maybe there was a, sad to say that there was a zakah. So that's already called not a mi'uta. The Gemara's called that a mi'uta, the mi'uta. That's already a strong minority. And therefore, u'mi'uta de mi'uta lo haish le bimi'ir. Which is the bimir is choshesh to a regular mi'uta, but a mi'uta, the mi'uta, no. Let's read Rashi now. Look at Rashi, sefa. Sefa, hazaka l'shuk. Share belo yabam aita techila kishi yatzta. Good. When the mother-in-law left, there was no other yabam, so therefore she was muter l'shuk. Viruba l'shuk, di'in amen it'abera, because even if let's say it'abera hamota, shema nekeba haita, or nefil, right? Could have been give birth to a girl or a nefil. Derov ubarim nefalim venekevot, right? On the rov, it's either a nefil or a nekevot. Keda amrina ne'el. De mechsa de valdek kaimen nekevot. So I have the mi'ut of Nefer, nefer is a miscarriage. So comes the Rashi and says, "Have you okay? Umiut ubarim nefalim." Good. So you have a miut of the nefalim is miut of the ubarim is nefalim. Va'avi zecharim dekaima miuta legabe veladot. Va'achen name ika hazaka lerov, which means now you have a hazaka lerov. The maran name lachashat the miuta de zecharim. Have you miuta the miuta? What Rashi's saying over here, what's the pshat in the mi'utah, the mi'utah? Again, you have Rov, Nashim over here, they're going to give birth. What are they going to give birth to? They're going to give birth to a Nekeba, that's 50% right there. And then you also have mi'utah, they're going to give birth to a, it's going to be a miscarriage. So therefore the side of Nekevot and Nefalim is the majority against the minority of Zecharim. Okay, so that's the, obviously the mi'utah. So you have a mi'ut against the Rov. Now here also you have a mi'ut against a Hazakah. Because the Hazakah, this lady went, the mother-in-law went, she had no children. So the Hazakah is that what? That this lady be permissible to the Shuk. Now you want to have, you have a Mi'ut against that she gave birth to a Zakar, she's not going to be permissible to the Shuk. So the Mi'ut is against a Hazakah as well. So we have a Mi'ut that goes against the Rov, a Mi'ut that goes against the Hazakah. So even the Bimi'ir will say that's a Mi'utah, the Mi'utah, and therefore will not be Hoshesh, and therefore it's permissible for this lady to go get married to the Shuk. Whereas in the Resha, it was only considered a Mi'utah, which means you had 50%, yeah, Hazakah that said what? There was no child. That's already, she's subject to Yibum. 50%, you want to say what? That she had a child, and therefore what? She's subject to Yibum. But you have a Mi'ut, right? And therefore, Rov is usually stronger than Hazakah. So therefore, if you say Rov, so therefore she's not subject to Yibum, because Rov have a child. But there's a Mi'ut that says what? That maybe the child was a miscarriage, and therefore you have to put that Mi'ut to the side of the Hazakah. That makes it 50-50. 50-50, have a safek. Lo tenaseh velo tiyabim. That's the Zid Resha and the Sefa. Good, Resha, we call it a mi'ut. Sefa, we call it a mi'utah, the mi'utah. Comes the Gemara and continues. Lo tenaseh velo tiyabim. Good, what was the first din in the Mishnah? She cannot get married, this lady, and she cannot make a yibum. Let's discuss it. She cannot get married to the shuk, because maybe the tzara had a baby. She cannot make a yibum. Again, she cannot get married to the shuk. Maybe the tzara did not have a baby. Did not have a baby. And therefore she's not muteret leshuk. She cannot make a yibum. Because on the side that she had a baby. So now of course I can make yibum. You have a problem of ishit ah. Good. So the Gemara says, ul'olam. Which means how long is she forbidden to, that she's not be able to get married? Which means the problem is that you're worried that maybe the tzara had a baby, okay, and therefore she's zikuka to yibum. So why don't you just say make a halitza immediately mimanafshach? Halitza would solve this problem over here. Meaning, if she had a baby, so therefore there is there's no issues over here. So for the halitza is nothing. It's worthless. If there was no baby, good, so you need a halitza to break the zika. So you made a halitza, which means, why are you putting him in limbo and saying, no yibum, no marriage? Halitza l'chaodam misafik should solve this whole dilemma. So that's the last question. Ul'olam? But just to remain in this status forever? So comes the Gemara and says, look at that, she, ul'olam bitmiha, tahlots mimma nafshach. Let her make a halitza mimma nafshach, v'tenase l'shuk. Halitza will solve all our problems over here. You have a safek. You don't know if that she had a child or not. Let this lady go to one of the husband's brothers. Let her receive a halitza. Automatically, she's permissible. If she needed to make a yibum, if there was a zika over here, the halitza broken. If there was no zika, so the halitza was worthless. She didn't need it. Then let her go get married right away.
Can't just say she's pregnant. It'll be 9 months at the mosque.
So, right.
3 months if she's not
pregnant. So comes again what answers Amar Ze'iri. So Ze'iri comes along and answers that when the Mishnah said that she cannot get married, it didn't mean forever. It says, La'atzma, which is from our standpoint, Shelosha Chodashim. She has to wait the normal 3 months. Always, whenever they come and tell her, let's say, met balich, she has to wait just to make sure that she wasn't pregnant, right? So therefore, there's no confusion of who the child is if she's going to get married to a second rim. So therefore, in order to, from her standpoint, she's got to wait 3 months. And for the tzara, the most she would have to wait is what?
9 months.
Now, what's the concern of 9 months? Because like this, the only way a child is proter from Yibum is when he's born. Okay, therefore, now, to make a halitza before the child is born is not going to be good. Because halitza only works where you were able to make Yibum. And therefore, since you cannot make Yibum until the child is actually born, so that you'd have to wait a minimum 9 months. Now you can say the Mema Nafshach. Once 9 months, if she was pregnant, she gave birth. Okay? So on the side that she gave birth, so therefore there was no Yibum necessary. So the Chalitza that you're making is just an empty ceremony.
Fine.
Oh, on the side that she did not... And you have to wait till she gives birth to Poter. Because only the child, when he comes out, is Poter. But if she didn't give birth after 9 months, good. So then you have a situation of halitza. Look at Rashi. Rashi says la'atzma shilosha b'shvil atzma, which means for her own sake. Tamtin shilosha chodashim dechol anashim shirikot tamtin gimel chodashim va'afilu ba'ala mit b'medinat hayam. Now Rashi's pointing out over here the three month rule should not apply over here. Because what's the whole chashash? That she was with her husband, right? And she got pregnant from her husband. Here we know the husband was already in Medinat Hayam. And therefore, no. The tzara and the husband are in Medinat Hayam. She's home. So therefore, what's the suspicion over here? So that she says doesn't matter. Which means when they said this 3 month rule, it applies to everybody, even old ladies, even ailunit that can't give birth, which is lo pilug. The rabbis made the law of 3 months, therefore that's going to apply even in the case where the husband was in Midrat Hayam, and therefore there's no suspicion they were together. They still have to wait the 3 month rule. Good. Look at the next session. Bishvil haverta shema mi'ubereti tzarata. Because even if you're going to make a halitza within 9 months, not going to help you. Why? Because maybe she is pregnant. He and maybe the child's going to come out alive. Halitza is not poteret in this case. Ela vlad poter. In that case, the baby is going to be poter, and therefore you have to wait until the baby is born. The verdadero poter achiyas elavira olam. The baby's got to come out. So therefore, the Gemara is really admitting it's not the olam. The maximum you got to wait is a 9 month period to make a halitza, and everything is okay. Good. That's the answer of Ze'iri. The Bharina Amar, the Bharina come, and then the choletzim emanafshach. Lashon of the Gemara, the choletzim emanafshach. The Bharina Amar leatzma shilosha. Again, from our standpoint, she's got to wait the 3 months. La'havirta le'olam. But le'gabit, for her, the tzara, it's really le'olam, which means you're concerned that maybe she gave birth. And therefore, you have to be mevaredit, according to Rav Hanina, which means you have to know that she, la'havirta le'olam, b'shvil havirta, siricha lamtinum ad she'teda. You got to know. Im yesh la valad, im lo. Does she have a baby or not? So the Gemara says, what are you talking? V'tachlotz mima nafshach. You have to know. Just wait the 9 months like we just said, and make a halitza. Mima nafshach. What do you mean le'olam? Doesn't make sense. You have to wait. Le'olam. So comes the Gemara and says, Abaye bar abin, v'rav hanina bar abin amritar vayu, gezera shimeye valad ben kayama, v'nimsa atam matzlicha kruz lakehuna. The concern is like this. You gave her a halitza, let's say, after 9 months. Okay, good. We have a problem now. Maybe now it's going to come, we're going to find out after that what, that the child was really born. And therefore, let's say, Edim, we're going to come along now and clarify. Avotai, the Sarah really had a child, and the child was a bit commanded. Therefore, this halitza was nothing. Good, so what's the problem? We're worried now, we might now have to make an announcement on this lady, she's muteret lekehuna. Because really, she's not a halutza. Halutza normally is asura lekeuna. Since this halitza was worthless, so therefore we're putting her in a situation where she's going to need an announcement, where you're going to have to go around and put up the signs and say, Rabotai, this lady over here is muteret lekeuna. So what? Make announcements. What's the problem? So the Gemara says, v'litzricha. So make an announcement. That's no problem. What are you worried about? Because we're worried that some people might have been at the Halitza ceremony and they were not at the Hakhraza. They didn't hear about the announcement. What's going to happen? The Avne Kasharu Halutza Lekohen. The people are going to come along and say, look, what's going on here? The rabbis are being matir, a Halutza to marry a Kohen. So for this suspicion over here, the Akanim came along and said that she's Asura Le'olam. Because we're concerned what? We're concerned that maybe the child's going to be a Ben Kayama. The Halitza is not going to be valid. You need a cruise. And you're going to worry that what? That the people are not going to hear the cruise. They're just going to see the Halitza. The people are going to think that you can matir a Kohenet to a Halutza can marry a Kohen. Over here, the Hashash is what? That they're going to need a cruise. And therefore, since we're worried that the people are not going to hear the cruise, they're going to just think that you're matiring a Halutza to a Kohen. So Gemara says a question. Tenan, we learned. This was an early Mishnah. We had a case where a lady went to Medinat Hayam with her husband. Okay, she went with her husband. They did not have children when she left, okay? So if they didn't have children, so therefore she was hazakat to Yibum, because there was no children. And what does she come along and say? Nitan li ben b'medinat hayam. She's saying, I had a child, and then she comes, va'amra mit b'ni ba'alkach ba'ali. Then my husband, name it. Why? Because we have a rule over here, pesha asar, pesha etir, which means she has a hazakah number one that says she is subject to Yibum. She on her own testimony is osering herself to Yibum. She's saying, I had a son. But the same mouth that's osering is being matir by saying that what? That the son died first and then the husband. And therefore she is ne'emenet. And therefore she can make the Yibum. Good. Met ba'li v'harkach beni. And that's the opposite. She had a hazakah that there was no children, therefore she is subject to Yibum. She comes along and says, my husband died first, and then my son. And therefore she's really saying, what? She's not mechoyevet in Yibum. So what is the din of the Mishnah? Ena ne'emenet. Right? She's not believed to be poter herself from Yibum and Halitza, because she's going against the standing Hazakah. Now, why would she say such a thing? So we're choshesh that maybe she hates the Yavam. And therefore she doesn't want to, you know, go with the Yabam. So therefore she says a certain type of testimony that she's not going to be able to go with the Yabam. So comes again what it says, however, v'choshishim l'dvareya, but still you have to be choshish to what she said, and therefore v'cholitiv lo mityabemet. Which means, on the hard side, she says she's petura. So then we have to choshish to that side, and therefore just make a halitza, don't make a Yibum. Now we analyze, again what it says, v'li'ush. Dilma, what you suspect that what you're going to let this lady make a halitza? Atu edim ve'amri k'dika'amar. Maybe witnesses are going to come and confirm that she was right, that the child died first. Sorry, the husband died first, and then the husband, and therefore, which means the husband died, and then the child. Therefore, she really wasn't subject to this halitza, and therefore she made a halitza for no reason, and therefore she has to make a cruise. And we suspect that what? Right. That the people are not going to be around to hear the cruise. They're going to have a problem of kibbutz. You see, from this Mishnah, you're not worried about that. And therefore, the Gemara says, maybe one is going to come along and confirm that she was right, that really she is not subject to Yibum. You're going to make her need a Keruz and Kunan. They're not going to be right. And obviously, we see that Mishnah, you weren't concerned about that. Because what do we say? In that case, give her a Halitza. Which is, like, give her a Halitza, and don't worry about witnesses coming after. All right, but now you're coming along and telling me that in our Mishnah, that was the concern. Which is why, in our Mishnah, you're telling me the reason why the lady cannot make a Halitza, she's Asura Le'olam, is because you're worried that what? That maybe the witness is going to come along and say that what? That Sarah really had a child, and therefore the Halitza was nothing. You need to make a cruise. We're worried about the cruise, people are not going to hear it. And therefore, the Matir a lady to the Keuna, they're going to think that Halitza is Mutal Keuna. She's basically, this question is why in our Mishnah, you hoshesh about the cruise factor, but in the earlier Mishnah you weren't. So the Gemara answers very simply. Amara papa bigrusha. So the papa says that the case we were talking about in the earlier Mishnah, she was divorced already. She was a divorcee. So therefore there's no problem. She's anyway asura the kuna. Which is really Gemara saying normally you would have to be worried about this concern. But if she's a divorcee, so therefore everybody knows already she's not mutar the kuna. So therefore the halitza is not going to bother anybody over here. Now the answer of Hayab ben Ravuna Amar. Where she comes along and says that her and her husband were in a cave together, and therefore nobody saw anything, and therefore we're not concerned about witnesses showing up after and coming along. She's coming along and saying that what? First my husband died, and then my son died, right? So she's coming along and saying that she's patur from everything. So we say, make Ahli Tzah Misafik. Because she's going against her hazakah. Oh, we said, how could you get going to make a halitza? Maybe the witness is going to show up after, and now they're going to come along and say that they really she didn't need the halitza, and then now you're going to have a problem of kanuz. Witnesses are not showing up in this case. You know why witnesses are not showing up? Because she said we were in a cave together. It was dark, nobody saw anything, so if you're not concerned about witnesses showing up, then we have no problem of kanuz. Okay, that is the actually, it's a very interesting harambam, and I think it's actually the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as well in this case. I'd like to quote it. The deen is like this. Halach ba'ala v'tzarata l'medinat hayam uba'u shnai v'amru la med ba'alich. Two witnesses come along and say that her husband died. She cannot make that a halitza or yibum. Ad sheteda im yaldat sarata o lo yalda. Velama lo tachlots achar tesha chodashim memitat ha-baal v'ite muteret lezar al kol panim. Which is Rambam is asking, why can't you just let her make a halitza after 9 months? And she should be permissible. Why are you saying that she cannot get married until she knows for sure? Why does she have to know for sure? Let her just wait the 9 months. So Rambam writes, what's the man of Shach? She im yalda tzarata, if she gave birth to tzara, hare niftirazu. Vim lo yalda, hare nichlitza. Gezera shemi yivada achara haditza she yalda tzarata valad shel kayama. Because we're worried that maybe it's going to come revealed after the halitza that she gave birth. Really, the halitza really is not a halitza. They're going to say what? Oh, halitza is muter lekohen. He's going to come along and say, I saw Beti was matir a halitza. Lefichak, Rambam finishes, imaita asura lekohuna mitehila. If she was forbidden from the kehuna initially, for example, she is a gerusha, harezu choletz lachar tet chodashim. So therefore, right after 9 months, she's permissible. Because people know that she's forbidden to the kehuna, she's not going to have a suspension. So really, it's posek like this shita of the Gemara. Okay, let's go to the next Mishnah. Shtei yibamot. Okay, what does shtei yibamot mean? That means you have two sister-in-laws. Okay, they're both married to brothers, right? So shtei yibamot, they came from Medinat Hayam. Zu omeret met ba'ali, vizu omeret met ba'ali. Each one is coming along and saying that what? Their husband died. Zu asura mipne ba'ala shel zu, vizu asura mipne ba'ala shel zu. Both of them are going to be forbidden to the shuk. Why? Because the first lady comes along and says her husband died. Good? Her husband died, so she's now subject to yibum. She has to marry now her brother-in-law. Only problem is, her sister's coming along and saying, med ba'ali, that he died. She's not believed legabeh, her sister-in-law. As we learned in the previous perek, that there's certain ladies that have animosity to each other, and therefore they are not trusted to testify. One of the ladies that are not testified is a sister-in-law cannot testify that what? That against her Yibama, because of the sin'a factor. So therefore, look at Rashi. Shtei yevamot. Nishish ne'achim. The wives of two sisters, of two brothers. Zu asura l'shuk, mipnei ba'ala shil zu, shu yevama, deshema hayhu. Because maybe he's really alive. V'zikukano, v'afa pish ishto omeret met. Even though the wife of that brother is saying he died, ena ne'emenet ayibimta shetinase alpia. We don't believe her legabe the yivimta to go get married. Why? She'en yivama mi'idal havirta. Because we learned earlier that a yivama cannot testify on her friend. She ahat mechamesh nashim she'en nemanot ha'ida. Why is she testifying that? Because she doesn't want to be a co-wife. So what does she want? She wants osera. What's going to end up happening? She's going to go marry now somebody else. And what's going to happen to that? The husband's going to be back, and therefore she's going to be asura to everybody. So therefore, she is not there in it. In this case, we're both ladies are testifying that the husband dies, so it's going to osir both ladies to the respective yavams. Good?
Yes.
Let's read that again inside. Shtei yavamot zu omeret mit ba'ali, v'zu omeret mit ba'ali. Zu asurah pnei ba'ala shel zu. V'zu asurah mipnei ba'ala shel zu. Because maybe the husbands or the brothers are really alive, and the yivama does not have a right to osir or to matir her through her testimony. Lezu edim ulezu en edim. No, let's say to one of the ladies, she has witnesses. There's nothing stronger than witnesses. Witnesses that her husband died. The other one does not have witnesses. So the Mishnah's din is like this: Etch yesh la'edim, the one that has witnesses, asura. Why? Because she's relying. She cannot go to the shuk because she's relying on the lady that did not have witnesses. She's relying on the sister-in-law's testimony. A sister-in-law's testimony alone is not good enough, and therefore she would be asura the shuk. However, etch en la'edim muteret, because she's relying on the witnesses that the other lady had to say that her husband died, therefore there's no yibum. So it reverses in this case. Yeah. Like that again. One lady brought witnesses that her husband died. Two sister-in-laws, right? One lady brings witnesses that her husband died, the other lady did not bring witnesses. So the lady that brings the witnesses is Asura, because she's relying on the testimony of her sister-in-law that the husband died. We don't trust the sister-in-law to gabe that, therefore she's not mutar lashuk. However, the lady that did not bring the witnesses is permissible, because she's relying on witnesses that the husband, that the sister-in-law's husband died. Therefore, there's no yibum. Therefore, she's permissible to the shuk. Which means, it's just the one that brought the witnesses is matir the other lady. Okay, that's the point. And the one that doesn't have the witnesses, obviously is not, is mutar based on the witnesses of the other one. Yeah. Comes the Gemara and the Mishnah continues. Next case. Lezu banim, venezu en banim. There's no witnesses over here, okay? One of them has children, and one of them does not have children. Okay? Lezu banim, lezu en banim. Echi yesh la banim. Right, the one that has children, muteret. Which means she's saying what? That her husband died. Okay? Now she has children. And since she has children, she's muteret to the shuk because there's no situation of yibum. It's a regular case. However, echi en la banim asura. Because she is subject to yibum, and you don't believe the sister that said her husband died, they got married this lady over here, because she's not ne'emenet, therefore she's asura to the shuk. She doesn't have children, so therefore she is in the perashav yibum, but we don't trust the sister's testimony, because she's not believed, so therefore, the one that has banim is mutal shuk, the one that does not have banim is asura shuk. Okay, last case of the Mishnah.
The Mishnah continues, Nityabemu umetu haibamim asurot lehinaseh. What's the case? So that she says, Dibura matin nityabemu, Shaya lahem kan shnei yibamim. Which means you had a situation over here of two ladies that fell to yibum, v'nityabemu. How did they fall to yibum? Shaisha shamra met ba'ali. She came along and testified that her husband died. We believe her, legabe herself. And therefore she went and she fulfilled the mitzvah of yibum. So it says, "Tichabem the le'anyan yibum lo tzricha zot eduta shezu." In this case over here, you don't need the testimony of her sister-in-law. In this case over here, she can make yibum based on her own testimony. Varishakeh. So that she says, that's going back on the beginning of the Mishnah, She'en lahem lo edim velo banim. Which means there was no witnesses over here, and she doesn't have children, and therefore the hadush of the cases over here is based on her own testimony she can make, yibum. Now what happened, umetu yibamim asot l'naseh. Now let's say the ones that they made yibam with died. So now it says they're going to be forbidden to get married. Why? Lashuk. Zum ipne ba'la rishon shel zu, v'zum ipne ba'la rishon shel zu. Because maybe there's another brother alive. Because that which we believe the lady to say met ba'li, that's only for herself. But it's not legabe her, the tzara. And therefore we have to choshes that maybe the other brother really did not die, and therefore it's not going to be permissible to the shuk, because the yibama has to fulfill yibum. So therefore, shema adayin im haim, she says, even though they got married themselves to the yibamim, on the assumption that the husband died, it's l'atzmam ne'emanot. They believe they can marry themselves. But now you're going to take time to the shuk, and you touch the zu mu'il zu. Now it's going to say what? That the testimony is going to work for their tzara. Then Yibamot Meidot Zu'azu. We know that Yibamot cannot testify for each other. The Mishnah concludes and says, Rabbi Elazar, Meru'il, V'otru li'yibamim, V'otru li'chol adam. They come along and say, once already you give them a hazakah, they can get married, because they got married to the Yavam based on that testimony. So therefore, we do not have to suspect, because they themselves use that testimony to get married. And therefore, once they use it for themselves, then it can be believed for somebody else.
Comes the Gemara and says, is Tana. The Gemara just introduces one more case that the Mishnah did not bring. What's the case of the Mishnah? You have two ladies that are married to two brothers. Okay, and they came back from Medina Tayam. They come along and tell us, Lizu Edim Ubanim. One of the ladies, she has witnesses what? That her husband died. And she also has children. Okay? Vilizu Lo Edim Vilo Banim. And the other one, she doesn't have witnesses that her husband died. Velo barim, she does not have children. So the deed is shete mutarot. Both of them are going to be permissible to the shuk. Let's speak it out. Why? The one that has children, of course she's permissible to the shuk. Because she's mutar, because she has children. And the other lady's mutar, because her sister has witnesses. Since she has witnesses that her husband died, so therefore there's no more brothers, therefore it's permissible to the shuk b'manafshach. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.